Yes, we've talked about the fact it was the New Zealand Cricket Awards last night in Auckland, and a good occasion because last couple of years have been spoiled by the fact that no one could get together. A thing called COVID came along and ruined it, but last night they did. And there's a very special award handed out there called the Bert Sutcliffe Medal Winner for services to New Zealand cricket over a period of time. And of the recipient, Martin Sneddon, the chairman, said this: "Forged a trusted and constructive relationship with New Zealand cricket, the likes of which has not been replicated anywhere else in the world. He is now recognised as the foremost authority on player advocacy in international cricket. Without doubt, will be remembered as one of the most influential figures in New Zealand cricket history." Very, very high praise indeed for Heath Mills. Good morning to you, sir. Congratulations.
Oh, good morning, Smithy, and thank you so much. It was very, very kind words from Martin last night, and even just listening to them again, I get a little bit emotional that he made those comments about me. I always felt very sort of privileged and honoured that the players keep employing me to look after them, but to hear those words from Martin, particularly after our start back in 2002, was really special.
Yeah, take us back to 2002. You know, we're talking a couple of decades here. It was rocky, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it was innovative. New Zealand cricket wasn't really in the business of being helped in their decision-making, I think I'll put it politely. There was talks of strikes even.
Yeah, it was a hard time. And we were young. I mean, Rob Nicol was heavily involved at that time with me, and the players were... They just didn't know whether they were getting paid fairly. The contract system wasn't very good at all. They didn't know how they should be valued. They had high-performance environment was pretty poor. You will remember, Smithy, the facilities were less than average. There was very few coaches. So they were keen to follow what had happened overseas and form an association. And I was lucky enough. I knew a few of them, and they asked me to help them get organised. And I, to be honest, Smithy, at the start, we didn't really know what we were doing. We leaned heavily on Tim May in Australia, and we entered that first negotiation with New Zealand Cricket, still working other jobs, and it ended up, it was tough. It was about a year and a half till we got a deal done. I mean, there was a so-called player strike, and I know Martin and others at the time and other people involved in the game, we weren't very popular with them, that's for sure. But we all got through that in the end, and actually, it was very acrimonious actually, but afterwards, Martin very quickly reached out and said, "Look, you guys are here, and we've got an agreement in place now. We need to find a way to work together." And although we've had to deal with a lot of issues over the years, and it hasn't been easy, and we've had to challenge at times and had to do a lot of listening at times as well, we have really formed a strong partnership, and I really take my hat off to New Zealand Cricket that they respect their player group so much, and they want to have independent representation from the players to interact with and make decisions with, and then to bestow an award like this on the representative of the players is a big thing. I don't think it's really happened too much in world sport where the governing body's given an award like this to the head of the Players Association. So I just really take my hat off to them and respect what they've done here enormously.
Aside from that particular early issue, which, as you say, got a little bit tempestuous because everyone was just trying to find their feet about the process back in those days, what have been one or two of the other more contentious issues that you felt you had to get through?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the onset of the Indian Cricket League, I think it might have been 2007 or 2008, Smithy. That was tough. It ended up being a rebel league after initially people thinking it would be sanctioned or should have been allowed. I think we lost about 10, 11, 12 players to that. And that was a really difficult time. We had a responsibility to the collective here in New Zealand, but we also make sure players had the right to go and work for whomever they chose. And that was a difficult issue, not so much with New Zealand cricket necessarily, but with the whole world game. And then, of course, the IPL came along, and that also was tough. I remember when we, the first IPL, we had an England test tour, and I think we traditionally played, say, four or five first-class matches before the first test, and we had our IPL players arrive 3 days before the first test, and that didn't go down well with a lot of former players and a lot of people in the cricket community. But now, you know, the schedules are aligned and the guys can go to the IPL and New Zealand cricket's happy with that. I mean, we've got to a good place. But in those early years, that was really, really, really tough. And obviously, dealing with the match fixing issues was really difficult as well. At that time, it's, you know, really, really tough on everyone. But look, mate, there's always issues. You know, we're in the people business. People have issues and we just got to find a way to work through them, and I think we do that respectfully with New Zealand cricket, the ICC, and then obviously with our members at times. So I tend to look at the really good stuff for me, mate. People think that my job's about money and contracts. To be honest, it's only 5-10% of what we do. I get most of my reward, really, in what we do with the personal development program. We've got six staff now who help all the players with their off-field development and with welfare issues and with their families. And the Cricketers Hardship Trust, where we support past players who've fallen hard times, we've probably helped on average 15 players a year now with various issues, and most of which we can't talk about because it's pretty tough. I tell you what, that really, I really love doing that work. So, it's that sort of stuff which keeps me going, Smithy, to be honest with you.
Interesting. You mentioned before, Heath, that you worked very closely in the initial stages with Tim May. Of course, Tim May was very, like yourself, probably, you know, the person who people looked at as saying he sorted it from an Australian player's point of view. Do you have much communication with the relative other players' associations around the world?
Yeah, yes, we do. There's an International Player Association, FICA, the Federation of International Cricketers Association, for the long-winded name, but FICA for short. So that's been around for 18 years now, and we've got 12 members. There's no player association in India or Pakistan, but everyone else has them, including Ireland, Scotland, Netherlands now. So I actually, you know, very fortunate and privileged to chair that organisation at the moment. So we're on weekly calls. So, you know, I think we're fourth face-to-face board meetings a year now. But the organisation's grown. We're in negotiations with ICC at the moment for the next event cycle for the players' involvement with that. So, you know, we work together very, very closely and are well aware of what's going on in all the other countries, which really helps me here. And obviously here in New Zealand, we've got a close working relationship with the other player associations here. So we're sort of finding our space a bit, Smithy. So we collaborate a lot with the other countries around the world in cricket and with the other sports here in New Zealand. So you can sort of see what works well and take the best from all the environments, really, and apply it to your own.
Heath Mills, we're talking to folks. Of course, the winner of the Bert Sutcliffe Medal last night at the New Zealand Cricket Awards, and a reflection of what the great work that Heath has done over a long, long period of time now as an advocate for the players and players' rights, players' health, players' mental well-being, etc. situation. One of the other things, Heath, that has become very apparent of late, and you, New Zealand cricket and yourself have been forerunners of this on a world stage, is parity for women in cricket.
It's been really important for us. We got them on board as members about 11, 12 years ago now, and slowly chipped away with a separate MOU for them over that time. And last year we negotiated our latest collective agreement with New Zealand Cricket, and it was really awesome to bring our female members into the one agreement with the men and to agree a pay parity model within the player payment pool, recognising obviously the differences between the number of games played, different formats and so on and so forth. But we've got a really good pay parity model within that, and it's a great framework to have our women players, our male players, sharing the same terms and conditions and treated fairly within our system. So we're actually really proud of that, and it was the first one in the cricket world, and a few more starting to follow now, which is great. And I think there's so much opportunity in the women's game, and we've seen it in the last two or three years with the increased investment. Now their commercial returns are starting to come. Just look at the women's IPL. In India at the moment, I was over in India last week and then watching some of that competition and talking to the broadcasters, they've been really impressed with the numbers. So, you know, it's a huge opportunity for growth in our game and the women's competition. So we're really delighted with where we've got to in that area.
Growth's an interesting word too, Heath, because, of course, it's all very well to look after the professional, the top end of it, of course, but you need players of tomorrow so you can look after them in the years ahead. So I guess you keep a relatively close eye on numbers, the development of the game at first class level and below, etc., in terms of the future, because obviously that is just so damn important. And you get the odd story about certain provincial areas where club sides are struggling to find teams, young players are perhaps not playing the game as much as they used to at secondary school. And all that, I suppose, is into the general health of the game as such.
Yeah, it's a really good point. It's absolutely critical, obviously, to have the young players coming through. And we talk about that a lot with the current players. The current players obviously went to schools, went to clubs, and they're very well connected to the community game through their history and the involvement in the sport and care about it passionately. So now revenue share model makes sure that New Zealand Cricket has got enough so that the major associations and the districts have got enough funding to run their programs. I think from our point of view, we're really strong on having good facilities for the professional game. The nets and the development New Zealand Cricket's put in place now with their outdoor netting system and so on and so forth is fantastic. The facilities that our people have to train and prepare on now are second to none. But of course, they end up not just being available for the professional players, they end up being available for all the age group teams all the way down as well, which is awesome. I do think, though, sports got a challenge in New Zealand, and that's probably just part of the evolution where people are participating less, and you would have seen that, Smithy, I've certainly seen that in my pathway through sport. You're quite right, clubs are struggling for numbers, but I think that's not a unique cricket problem or rugby problem, that's a problem in all of sport. You know, when I was a young fellow back last century, there were no shops open on Saturdays or Sundays, and there were no viaduct basins or viaducts to go and Courtney places. You know, people socialised and spent time at sports clubs, and now with so much other activities for kids to be engaged in, and so many other things to do on the weekends, people aren't going to sports clubs like they used to. So it's really important that sport, I believe, that the players, the athletes, and the competitions are really aspirational, that they see people participating, they see success on the world stage, and then they grow a love of the sport, and they aspire to get involved and perhaps replicate what they see on TV. But even if they're not a player, that they enjoy what they're seeing and they're watching, so that they become engaged to the point where they're in, where they want to keep watching and be engaged on other levels within the sport. So, I don't know what the answers are necessarily, but there's definitely an evolution taking place where we're just not getting people participating like they used to. And I don't think it's sport's fault necessarily. It's just that there are so many other things for people to do now in life.
Heath, sometimes when awards are handed out of this nature, it's like a reflection that your job's done, you know, what you've done, you've finished with, etc. What does the Heath Mills future look like in the interim anyway?
Oh, look, I don't know. Good question. I still love what I do. I feel very blessed and privileged to do what I do, actually. And it's a very interesting job, but, I've done it a long time now, so I need to think about, the next sort of 5 to 10 years and what's around the corner. I really love the international role at the moment, sharing the International Player Association, and I'd like to remain doing that for as long as I can. But there's probably time in the next few years for me to think about things. But at the moment, I'm certainly heavily committed to what I do, and as I said, I love looking after players, and I love working in cricket. It's a great sport. There are great people involved. New Zealand Cricket, the major associations, community people. I very seldom come across someone who's not in it for the right reasons or a good person who I want to engage with. So I love the people more than anything. So it'll be hard to leave when the time comes.
When the time comes, absolutely right, Heath. Hey, look, fantastic to catch up with you. I sincerely Sincerely endorse Martin Sneddon's comments there, and I obviously congratulate you on a very well deserved award, the Bert Suckluck of one, which I understand you'll be able to hold on to for the rest of your life. So that is just superb. Congratulations, and continue on the fine work. Thanks for your time, Heath.
Thanks so much, Mr. It's very kind and much appreciated, mate. Best of luck to you.